the achiever. I knew I was an effective person, and I was so disappointed. And I spent years fighting my six. But the more I learned about it, the more I realized, oh, yeah, there are so many things about the six that are true of me. The test was accurate, and I've learned to love my six as much as I can. On the other hand, I attended a training last year where a guy who's a spiritual director, I don't know how many years he had believed he was a two, but at the conference, he had this aha moment where he realized he was actually a six. And it was a huge dramatic change for him to realize he had mistyped himself years ago and just been trying to fit into this type that wasn't accurate. So all this to say, you have a test result, you're gonna hear some things today. Keep exploring and keep learning and keep talking to people who know you well to access the best transformation for you. Okay, I'm gonna show you something on my screen here. And I gotta find the right tab. Oh, and I gotta move this thing. This is not what I want. Don't look yet,
They're looking, I'm looking.
Now, this is what I wanna show you. Okay, so there is a tiny basic Enneagram diagram. And I think Marianne might have given you guys handouts as well.
Yeah.
They're all pretty similar. They have the 9 points all the way around them, and each 9 point has a name to it. I want to show you another one. I mean, I guess I could go through the names, but I think you guys are smart enough to read, right?
So another guy I was reading, I was like, don't be put off by how cultish it looks. It's just a diagram. Yeah.
I didn't hear that. Should I have heard that?
No, just that it looks a little satanic, but it's not.
Well, the spiritual, this is the spiritual diagram, and it looks a lot more holy, I think.
Okay.
That's why I prefer it. So this diagram, you can see that thick blue circle around the edges. And when you think about putting off the old self and putting on the new self, as Jill shared, there are phrases in the Enneagram studies about that. It's called the false self and the true self. And if you look at the center of this diagram, you'll see that the positive words that reflect each number are in the middle. A lot of them are fruits of the spirit. And they say that Jesus lives in the very center of the diagram. So he embodies the beautiful things about each number. Now, if I'm a six, okay, so I'm on the outside of my six, and I can be anywhere in that blue line. I can be on the blue line that's closest to the number six. I would call that the outer edge. Or I can be on the inner edge of that blue line, touching the what is it, orange peach triangle. Mm-hmm. So if you think about the outer edge being your false self and the inner edge being your true self, these are different ways that we can live out our type each day. When we are on the inner edge, when we are living from our true self, we are authentic, we are fully present with God and connected to Him, we are living like we know we are loved. We're not living performance-based, we're not trying to earn anything. We are basically reflecting God as He created us to do. Now, we don't do that all the time. So as we move to the outer edge, closer to that number, I would call that the false self. And not just me, but Enneagram people would call it the false self. So another way to think of it is playing God. When we start to think that we have the power to do everything that needs to get done today, when we think that we are the ones who can come up with a plan and execute it perfectly without even thinking about God. It's made up of our family of origin issues that leak into us. Nature, nurture, and free will. When we put on masks, that's the false self. That's more of the outer edge. So I love the verse from Romans that Jill read, because really the goal of the Enneagram is to put off the old self, to recognize the false self within us, to say, I don't want to live like that anymore, and to move towards the inner edge so that we can be reflecting God as He intended for us to do. All right, let me scroll. Oops. Stop. Hold on. I can't see my tabs. There we go. Let me scroll down. Oh, I was supposed to, I'll scroll up. Okay. here's another diagram for the triad. And this demonstrates that we have three areas of intelligence, which brain research is actually starting to figure out as well. So we have, I'll start on the left, the head. That's the intelligence that we get from using our brain. That's our thought. That's our genius that comes from our ability to be smart. And the 7, 6, and 5, 5, 6, and 7, those numbers are all living in this head triad, which just means that most often 5, 6, and 7s will lead from their IQ, from their head knowledge. Now, I am a 6, and that is where I live. And sure enough, the more I learn about myself, I realize that I approach everything in life from up here. I have to think it through. It has to make sense. I have to check the safety of things. I lead with my head. And so this may resonate with you. And the headpiece also reflects the wisdom of God the Father. Okay, then go up to the top numbers, the 8, 9, and the 1. They all live in the gut triad. The gut is hard to explain. Another way to think about it is the body. And it's people who are really driven by instinct. You know, I'm driven by research. People in the gut triad, 8, 9, and 1, are driven by what they just know to be true, what their body tells them to be right. And this reflects the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's a little hard for me anyway, as a head person, to grasp the gut portion, but hopefully there's a gut person in your group that can help you guys grasp it even better. And then going on to the heart on the right-hand side, the 2s, 3s, and 4s all lead with their heart. That's the feelings. This reflects who Jesus was. It comes out of serving and doing for others from a place of love. I was at a training once where somebody talked about how people walk through life, literally walk through life, leading from their cue, their emotional quotient, or their gut quotient, or their intelligence quotient. So a head person, a 5, 6, or 7, might walk through life kind of with their head leading, because their head is leading, and physically you can see these people. Like, I even walk that way where my body's catching up to my head because I've got something to do. The heart people are often like arms open, leading with their heart physically. And the gut people, again, I don't get you gut people very well. I want to be more like you. But they're leading with their instincts. So it's a lot of just jumping into something because they just know it to be true. So keep in mind the head, heart, and the gut. Now, before I describe each number to you, I want you to be aware that each person has a piece from each of these triads. Let me find my diagram. Oh, I'm going back to this one. So I'm a 6. So you can see on that triangle that the 6 is in a triangle with a 9 and a 3. Now, Marianne is a
3, so we're in the same clique.
And that's the only reason we're friends. She's a 1, she'd be out of here.
Hey, now.
So what does this mean? The reason I'm telling you this now, rather than before we go into each type, it's because as we're describing each type, I want you to think about not just the type that you tested for, but the types that are in your harmony triad. Mm-hmm. So for me as a 6, my 6 reflects my headpiece, but there's also a good bit of 3 in me that reflects my heart piece, because I'm a created image of God and I have that as well. And then there's a part of me that reflects the gut of the 9. And so we each exhibit 1 from each area, because we each exhibit Christ the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It'll mean more later, but I just want you to be thinking about that. So if you are a 2, a 5, or an 8, you guys are in the same harmony triad. So those 3 numbers reflect how you demonstrate your head knowledge, your heart knowledge, and your gut knowledge. One will typically lead more, one will typically be squashed by some others, but they're all in you. And so again, the red triangle, if you're a one, a four, or a seven, you are in that harmony triad. And those three numbers reflect your head, heart, and gut. Yes, Marianne.
The girl with the denim jacket has a question.
That's me. So I'm struggling with this because I feel like especially a one would not be a gut instinct person.
I feel that way. I feel like I do not.
Do you make decisions by gut instinct?
I know what you're wrong.
Really? I feel like it's the sensory person that likes, you know, pros and cons lists, facts, things like that. But you're saying that kind of reconciles.
But those people, I mean, I'm thinking about one that I work with actually. If she comes across something that's not being done right, she just goes after it. She calls it out right away. There's no considering the feelings of the other person. Are very similar, so I identify a ton with the ones.
I like it.
What you learn may not always fit, and that's okay. So, like I said, there are different models and things. Some people don't go for this harmony triad thing at all. Some people just don't believe in it. So if it's not working for you, I will allow you to let it go. But if you're curious and want to keep exploring, you may find some truth in it. Oh. Is that helpful?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we fixed us.
Yep.
Yeah. Have I offended everyone?
Okay. Not everyone yet, but keep going.
Okay. All right. Where are my twos? You're next.
Okay.
All right. So now I want to describe each number. And
just for the interaction of the group, can we kind of raise our hands if you guys identified as the number, just so we can see who's in our group? Okay. If you think maybe it's you.
The eight.
Start with eight?
Okay, we're going to poll our group and see who's
an eight.
Hey,
I want to see who's an eight.
Who's an eight?
Well, let her read the description because people might
not know. Oh, yeah. They should have followed directions, Carrie.
If we think we're different numbers, can we stand up on all the different numbers we think we are?
Yes.
I don't think one number can contain
me. All right, we're starting with eight.
Okay, so you have, I think, a little description of what that is on your handout. There's a little description that I'm showing on my screen here. The positive sides, the true self sides are listed first, and then when it gets to can be overly impactful, excessive, and compulsive, those are the false self sides. What I'd like to do for each type is read you a paragraph of who you are when you're your best self, your true self is in that number. And I'm going to follow that by reading you some information about who you are when you're more on the outer edge, when you're more the false self. So here it is for the eight. Everyone listen, because if you got the wrong answer on your test, you might hear yourself.
And what triad is this? This is the 8-2-5?
Yeah, I'm looking
okay.
to the 8-2-5.
Oh, look at, they go right across.
First.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, I am a person who is independent and vigorous. I like being respected for my strength and dependability. It is more important to be respected for who I am than to be liked. I'm a no-nonsense go-getter that values honesty and faithfulness. I have no room for people who choose to be weak, but will crusade for those who are weak with no choice. I resist following orders from people I do not agree with and will always challenge the status quo. I will defend people I care about at any cost. Now again, they're not always true of you. You don't have to check off every single thing I'm saying. My opinion will be known and my presence felt on issues that matter to me, and sometimes even issues that don't matter. I'm a fighter against what I consider to be unjust and am comfortable taking a lead. I am direct, confrontational, decisive, and courageous in the heat of battle and can create my wars. Some people may think I'm bossy or even manipulative, but I don't want to take anyone's power and I don't want them to have power over me. I'm known for having the last word. am turning to that other page with the false self of the eighth. I've always been scared of eighths. I didn't know what they all had that in common. But when I was in my training class, I had an eight at my table, and she said, "We don't realize we're coming off that way."
Yeah,
such a sensitive person.
Yeah.
Eighths can seem very abrasive, but they don't have the intention of offending and being abrasive.
Right.
All right, when you're on the outer edge of your eight, the false self, unaware eights can be aggressive, confrontational, oppressive, self-centered, self-righteous, domineering, insensitive, and prone to excess. More and bigger is always better. They are proud and bossy, addressing the injustices with their own brand of justice.
Mm-hmm.
Non-transforming eights must be the boss. That's the ones who aren't interested in transformation. Must be the boss, call the shots, direct the crews, right the wrongs, and have the last word. They have problems allowing themselves to trust or be close to others. So in this first example, you can see how if you're an eight, there's so much to grab onto here. You can grab onto something from the true self and want to improve it within yourself, or you can recognize part of the false self and then focus on that as you're trying to transform it more into the image of God. Should I keep reading both of those for the numbers?
Yeah. Yes. Wait, are there any eights?
Are they all working?
There's a lost in
are they?
Okay. Yeah, we're married to an eight. We have a group married to an eight. Yeah, who's first born? Eight. Okay. All right, we're good.
Next one.
We don't have any of those.
I'm going to go to the two, which is
we're going to have a lot of twos.
You can see on the screen.
Yeah.
Two to the positive and not so positive things that can exhibit themselves in a two. I'm going to read from the true self first. I am a friendly, self-sacrificing person. I love to see what a person needs and then be the one to give it to them. I am very intuitive and sensitive to others. Should we stop for a moment and have the twos identify themselves?
So
should we point
there?
Them out?
Oh, we got some twos.
Aww.
We have twos. Aww.
We can usually point them out because they're the
yeah. Okay.
I would like to do more for people than I do and will go above and beyond the call of duty. It comes very naturally for me to give of myself. I am usually busy taking care of others and unaware of my own needs. I am not good at saying no. I don't like to disappoint people, so I end up putting more energy into loving others than loving myself. Some people may think I'm clingy or possessive. It saddens me if people think I'm trying to control them through my caring. I like people to see me as cheerful, self-sufficient, warm-hearted, and sacrificing. I work very hard to make real, heartfelt relationships happen. I am nurturing and empathetic, but sometimes can hurt myself by being martyr-like. When I'm hurt, the words, "After all I've done for you," have been known to come out of my mouth.
They're like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I'm offended, I can get vindictive or take revenge. Okay. Now, I'm going to read just some parts of the false self of the two, what the two can become when we're living in the world. Unhealthy twos are proud of their giving and want to be indispensable, boastful, and manipulative in their giving. Non-transforming twos are clingy, indirect, possessive. They are addicted to loving and proving that nobody can love you as they love you. No good deed goes uncalculated and reciprocation is noted. Uncentered twos are martyr-like, working way beyond your boundaries and their boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
They are insecure and preoccupied with gaining approval. Anyone want to say anything about a two?
Yeah, okay, we have them in the family. You can write names on this. No one's going to see
it. If I think I'm a two, but I also think it's because my mom's a two, that means that I'm enmeshed with my mom and I have boundary issues.
I got her number
for
it.
Different issue.
I actually thought I was a three, and I think it was because watching my mom.
My mom to a T. And I don't know necessarily what.
And just so you know, from knowing you both, similar mothers. So I'm just letting you know that. Okay.
Warning. Yeah. Mother issues will come out.
Okay. are there books to help
lots.
You deal
oh,
with
lots.
The
yeah.
side of people?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's a good
so
one.
So many. I'll give you some names at the end in case you want to jot some down. There's so much stuff out there. Okay. The observer. We're going to do the five now. I actually have a five wing.
Was it five?
So there's a okay, piece of meat that's in pie.
Double five right there. Okay. Double five.
Oh, really? Two of them. Okay.
Two fives.
They're sitting together.
Are they wearing nerd glasses?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I'm just kidding.
Just embrace it.
He loves math.
Okay.
This is trying to say that we can become really snarky about the numbers and start to put the other numbers in a box because we think we know them. And that's what I just did. Was you know, well, I'll
show you what not to do.
So we shouldn't be doing that. I was just kidding. Okay, the true self of the five. I am a quiet, cerebral observer. I desire to gain knowledge and observe life at a distance. I value my space and my privacy. I am an analytical person and want to be safe and in control of my feelings. I do not like to be in the middle of things, but enjoy observing and categorizing those that are. I am calm, perceptive, curious, and insightful when I'm at my best. I sometimes feel socially awkward. I enjoy an experience later when I'm thinking about it more than when I'm actually in it. I can be withholding and arrogant. I avoid rude, loud, and demanding people who express strong feelings. I don't like people to expect me to share my feelings. I like to experience my feelings alone. I don't like large crowds and don't have a strong need to be with people. I love to gather more and more information. When I'm under extreme stress, I get agitated and sometimes think that someone has either moved my things or done something else to interrupt my work. My mental life is very active and my emotional life is very private. All right. And the false self of the five. So when you're on your outer edge, fives can be intellectually arrogant, withholding, controlled, cynical, negative, standoffish, and stingy. Uncentered fives. Uncentered, meaning more towards the outer edge, not balanced in the center, are addicted to distance and detachment. They guard their privacy, space, and avoid being engulfed by others. Unhealthy fives become preoccupied with their thoughts and imaginations. Fear can keep them attached to thinking and unable to access feelings. Ooh, that's me. When on their edge, they are intense and highly anxious. They are plagued with meaninglessness and gather information or protection to allay their fears.
That's not that easily out there on the inner edge.
All right, let's switch to the 369 triad. I'll start with the nine.
Anybody? Nine, 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 Jealous, nine. Right? Oh, look at the nines.
Nine.
Okay, we got a few.
I have a kid.
You do, okay. Hang on. I lost the page. Okay, here we go. I am a mediator. I have a strong desire to bring peace and harmonize people to create a peace-filled and comfortable life. I accommodate others' needs and feelings quickly. I prefer to see others happy at the expense of my feelings. I am not concerned about what is important to me, but what is important to everyone else in the group. I can see everyone's side in a conflict and how each one is important and needs to be considered. This consideration can make me appear too passive or indecisive, but I prefer to save decisiveness for the important issues. I keep anger in check, and I rarely display it. I am diplomatic and able to help people come to resolutions. I am adaptable, calm, non-judgmental, and supportive. I don't like confrontation and discomfort in relationships. I rarely have my agenda, and I'm pretty adept at seeing who does. If I see myself in all nine paragraphs, I may be a nine. Is it resonating? Mm-hmm.
Is that you guys?
Jordan?
Maybe.
They don't know yet.
They don't know?
They're still thinking. Okay. And the false self of the nine. So when you're on the outer edge, non-transforming nines can be indecisive, spaced out, apathetic, undisciplined, unassertive, passive-aggressive, and stubborn. Unaware nines are disconnected from their needs, their feelings, and their anger. They merge with others at the cost of their own desires. They are stubborn and shut off from feelings. They lose themselves in the lives of others.
Hmm. I have a question.
Do you think the inner and outer, like I'm thinking about my kids, and because they're still figuring out where they stand with Christ, like I have a nine, and so I see a lot more of his characteristics in the outer self or the false self. Does that like correlate? Does that make sense, or is that like?
How old is he?
He just turned 11.
Okay.
He's also a middle child, so.
I don't know that I can answer the question in the way you want me to answer it, but I will say this. We all go back and forth from the outer edge to the inner edge. Okay. You're probably more adept at picking up his outer edge because you're his mom.
Well, I mean, I see inner too. I mean, I see both, but yeah. He's 11.
Yeah, so but your question, why does he hang out more on the outer edge?
No, I just meant, like, does that, like, correlate? Like, seeing outer edge stuff in kids more than inner edge stuff for each number?
It can, but I'm going to say later on that really it's hard to type kids.
Okay.
So I'd wait and see. I'd keep observing. Keep watching.
Okay. But I'm not five, so.
So grab the girl at the other table and have her help you.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to do the three now. The performer, also known as the achiever. This is Marianne, everybody.
And there's more. Who else is a three?
I was primarily one, and then
who else
three
is
was
three?
Showing up.
Yes.
Join
me. We're
gonna
have a party after this.
That's right. Yeah. We'll do something. We're gonna go be efficient somewhere. It'll be done fast.
Okay. No messing around.
Yeah.
All right. I am a productive achiever. I see someone or something, and I look at how I can make it or them succeed. I like things to work and be productive. You might say I grease the wheels to make stuff happen. I am diplomatic and image conscious. I like to shine, look competent, and fruitful. Life is a series of tasks. Goals and accomplishments. I do things efficiently and sometimes at a high rate of speed. I do everything to avoid failure. My identity can come too much from what I do or accomplish. Sometimes I think my value comes from doing and not being. I set aside my emotions or needs to get a job done. I like to be on top, and I'm irritated with people when they slow the process down because of incompetence.
I don't tell them that. I'm
irritated. Slowing down the pace is uncomfortable for me because I feel unproductive and that feels like failure. I am a good leader but also a great team player. To succeed when I'm under pressure, I tend to cut corners and do things in the most efficient way, even if it calls for being deceitful and superficial. When I'm healthy, I am a great motivating leader who helps people become the best they can be.
Let's do so Marianne, the bad stuff, Joy. Night. Here's the bad stuff, Joy. It's coming.
Yeah, Marianne and I were talking last night, and when I started reading the next part for her.
What did I say?
You said, There it is. All right, so when you're living on the outer edge of the three, driven threes are addicted to the need to be productive, inspiring, motivational, efficacious, admired, and successful in whatever they do. They can become addicted to tasks and things to accomplish. Workaholism, image management, and competitiveness are compulsions of the three. Cutting corners and whatever it takes work mode lead to the three's self-deception. When trapped in the achieve more mode, they disconnect with their deeper feelings and lose connection with themselves and others. They become more of a human doing than a human being.
That's because there's stuff to do, Jennifer, and if it would all get done, then I can be me.
It's not that hard. Oh, I can get it done for you. Let me help. Yeah. And the sixes are like, what's going to happen if we don't get it done? Okay. So speaking of sixes.
Yeah. Who else is a six?
Can you see that one?
Oh, yeah. 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 Couple so sixes sitting by each other. Anyone else?
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm
no,
you're six.
No.
Debbie, you're a six.
Yeah.
Okay, we're ready.
Just so you know, six is the best number. I am motivated by a desire for safety and security. I am a loyal person who longs for the sense of belonging. I have a constant background of anxiety due to my vivid imagination. I wonder what might go wrong and don't want to be defenseless. When I perceive something is dangerous or harmful, it's as real to me as if danger or harm were actually happening. I can be fearful of dangerous situations and withdraw or confront them head on. I am always aware, even subconsciously, of what might go wrong. I tend to be suspicious, so I think about who can and cannot be trusted. I look for the hidden meanings and messages and am sometimes known to play devil's advocate. Tradition and stability are vital to me. I don't readily trust authority, but don't necessarily want to be the authority. Friends can count on me to be loyal to them to the end. When I find something to believe in, I am loyal to people, systems, organizations, and traditions, sometimes to a fault. two for me, but we don't have enough time for me to tell you that story.
Okay. Are you guys still sixes?
Yeah.
Most of it, yeah. The false self of the six. So when you're on the outer edge, uncentered sixes are motivated by the need to feel secure and in control, to have safety and predictability. Finding that sense of belonging and trust is an addiction for a six. Unhealthy sixes are phobic and withdraw to protect themselves, or counterphobic and confront fearful situations head on. Sixes are relentless in getting what they want. Non-transforming sixes fixate on hazards and worst case scenarios and how to deal with them. They are often cautious and indecisive, operating from self-doubt and suspicion. They can be defensive, rebellious, and highly anxious.
Gave birth to one of those.
I want to jump to the.
All right, the ones. Where are they?
Even though the ones.
Yeah, look at them. One, ones.
Ones everywhere.
How many ones do you have?
Emily, you're missing. It's one time.
Oh, one. You have three ones.
Couple. Four ones.
Four of us.
Has that been the majority so far?
Yeah.
Ones. I am very conscientious and want to be good. I look for ways to live correctly and help others around me live properly. Some people say I'm a perfectionist or anal retentive. I have a strong inner critic or voice that directs me with what I should do or ought to do. I tend to should all over myself. I try to avoid showing anger and being vulnerable. Some people think I'm controlling, but I have high internal standards for what's right. I can spot when something's wrong and work hard to perfect it. I enjoy seeing something done the right way, and I'll put aside my needs to see a job get done perfectly. I will do my very best to see things well-ordered and finished. I have a hard time when people don't have that same standard for their work. When people expect a handout or are irresponsible, it makes me angry. Fairness and correctness are at the top of my list.
That's for me.
So again, not everything may apply to you. Certainly not today.
Yeah, your test coming up. You can be a one.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, the outer edge of the one. Unaware ones must live the right way, including improving themselves, other people, and the world around them. They are meticulous to their own detriment. They are addicted to maintaining high standards. Their inner critic demands another tweak or correction to make things perfect. Non-transforming ones are afraid of making a mistake. They are picky, finicky, judgmental, and impatient. Ones have repressed anger as they view the world through their list of the oughts and the shoulds, right and wrong. They can be self-righteous, overly serious, hypercritical of themselves and others, rigid, inflexible, and controlling. There's a lot of good stuff about ones, too.
Ones are awesome.
Okay, let's move to the four. Romantic.
We gotta figure this out. Four, yeah. Seven. Who's a four? Four.
Oh,
four. Look at that. Beth is new. She's a four.
Also perhaps
maybe a four. No, fours over there. Okay, we got a couple fours.
I have found fours to be rare in my own life as well. Okay, I am a sensitive person with powerful feelings and a vibrant creative imagination. I feel or have felt in the past as though I am not like other people and nobody understands me. That's because I seek depth, meaning, and authenticity of feeling and self-expression in my life. Beauty, love, sorrow, and pain touch me deeply. Looking at a piece of art, a sunset, or listening to music can be a religious experience for me. I love aesthetics and can change my clothing or environment over and over again to reflect what I feel inside. Some people see me as being overly dramatic, but I see life in the sixth dimension. I long for authentic relationships and rarely find them. I've always been in pursuit of emotional connectedness and feel I will never have it. My life always seems like there's something better, more fulfilling than I have, and I will keep reaching to attain it. Sometimes I'm envious of what I perceive others to have that I don't, and this can lead to melancholy or depression. I am introspective, creative, and intuitive, and in touch with the hidden depths of life and emotion.
Welcome, Beth.
Yay!
Always love to try behind you.
I do kind of wish that were four. Here at our church, they always say the people on stage, the singers and the creative people, that they're all the fours.
Although I really have found listening to that music podcast,
yeah,
that creative people are every number.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Huh. I couldn't hear that, so if I need to comment, let me know.
No, you're good.
All right, here's the outer edge four. Unaware fours withhold themselves from others due to feeling vulnerable and defective. Fours on their outer edge focus on whatever is missing, distant, and dreamed. They can get lost in love with the world of romance, fantasy, and imagination. The drive to feel special and unique and avoid being seen as ordinary might rob them of presence. They're not present in their situations. Non-transforming fours can also feel contemptuous and exempt from ordinary ways of living. Uncentered fours have problems with self-indulgence, hypersensitivity, worthlessness, idealism, depression, and self-loathing. A lot of fours have issues with abandonment, stories of abandonment in their past. All right, and seven. Any seven?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe?
Billy's Christy. You're it.
I think you said seven.
Yeah. I'm seven.
Okay, seven.
Okay.
Oh,
no.
Seven.
You're an eight.
No.
You are eight?
I can't be the only one.
Yeah. Or not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Whatever.
You could be.
Seven can often be characterized as the party people.
Yeah.
Yeah, party people.
But it's not, that's the very simple, simplification of the seven. So here's the true self seven. I view life as an adventure. I want to be on the go, experiencing new and exciting things. People say, I am the life of the party. I'm a seeker of excitement. I love enthusiastic and spontaneous. When I do something I enjoy, I devote myself wholeheartedly to it. Conversely, if I don't like it or it bores me, I will look for a way out. My imagination is a nonstop playground. I love to connect ideas and information and see how they work together to make something new. I like to be involved at the beginning of something when things are fresh and the playing field is wide open. I always want to move on to the next trip, the next idea, the next opportunity. When difficult things happen, I try to change the channel by thinking of something else or doing something else. I avoid pain at all costs. I'm optimistic and I am counting on being able to live a fun and enjoyable life.
Can you press the 7 one so we can see that?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Thank you. I always imagine somebody with a glass of wine in one hand and like a donut in the other hand.
Yeah, that's one. Yeah, one again. Yes, please.
Over
yeah, like, well, just having enough. Like, 7's never having enough.
Okay. Outer edge 7s are addicted to the need to be happy, stay busy, keep their options open. They keep life up to include compulsively making plans for new experiences. Non-transformed sevens are overextended, scattered, and undisciplined, distracted and exhausted by staying on the go. Uncentered sevens have problems with superficiality and impulsiveness. Boredom, suffering, painful emotions, and the everyday drudgeries of life must be avoided at all costs. Sevens on their edge are outer edge are self-centered, insensitive, narcissistic, hyperactive, undisciplined, and they have problems with completion and long-term commitments. Only when they're on their outer edge.
Yeah.
Not all the time.
Okay. All right. You're going to go seven.
Okay.
The more I read, it's more seven.
I want to say a couple of other things before we move on to questions. Sorry. I'm looking at my paper. So one thing I want to talk about is children. So I kind of alluded to this earlier. When it comes to trying to type our own children, often in children, especially younger children, it's hard to tell what number they are because they operate more at the center. Here, I'm gonna give you my whole beautiful face now. Kids often operate at the center of the diagram. They're reflecting all numbers when they're little because they haven't gotten the grime of the world stuck onto them as heavily as we adults have. So it's hard to tell numbers with children. I had my kids actually a year ago, I forced them all to take the test. And even she was like 15 at the time, I didn't really believe her number. And it surprised me, her results. So again, I just wanna chalk that up to give your kids time to get the grime all over them, and then it might come out more. And I want to talk about us as children. So one of the most transforming pieces of my training was considering something called the dismissed childlike self. I had to ask the question, which of my triad, which of my head, heart, or gut has been undernourished? So in thinking about how the three work together, and I'm going to be speaking from a 3, 6, 9 example, And I think Marianne had a question about this yesterday when I was talking to her, and this answered her question. Because she said, I'm in this triad, but I don't really feel like I'm exhibiting this number that's in my triad. And this is why. Because sometimes life squashes a certain number. And I'll give you examples from my own life that maybe you can relate to yourself. So I'm a 3-6-9. My 6, my fear, my anxiety squashed my 3. My 3 was the achievement. And so there were times when I would not do tryouts for a sport I wanted to do or a music group I wanted to do, because that would have been my 3, my achievement. But my 6, my fear, wouldn't even let me try out. So my 6 was very loud, and it kind of pushed aside a little bit of my 3. Also, my 6 was very loud because my dad, I believe, has an anxiety disorder. I have one as well. And so I lived around this man who was constantly nervous about everything. Like, never leave the house without an umbrella. It's a simple example, but I really think living with him caused my 6 to be brought up more. That was the pattern I learned. Somebody was talking about their mom, and so your parents do influence which of the triads you might live out of more. My mom and my grandma were really 3 oriented, and they pushed me to be the achiever, to be on stage, to be getting awards and things like that. And I realized, you know, just a few years ago that my goal was never to be on stage. I wanted to be in the pit orchestra, not in the school play. But they pushed me, especially when I was young enough that I couldn't say no, to always be on a stage. And so what that did was it dismissed the 9 piece of me, the part of me that wants peace and rest and the comfort of being in solitude sometimes. And so my 9 got dismissed. And that's why I have to learn now as an adult to find my 9 more often. Again, I'm really a 6, but I'm in the triad of 3-6-9. I have to notice where my 9 is being squashed, where I'm squashing it, and give it room to breathe. This is like Enneagram 301 here. So if you're not catching this, don't worry about it. But for those of you who maybe have studied it for a while, you might find this interesting. Okay, I have a little bit more to say, but I'm going to stop and see what questions you have and see if I can answer them.
I have a question. So I'm confused about...
If you could say your number, please.
All right. The 1 here. My name is 1. And my question is, so I'm surprised... At first, when I thought you were talking about the triad, I thought it meant something different. But now I'm understanding if I'm in the triad, I possibly have some of those... characteristics. Is that kind of what you're saying? Because I also hear about there's these wings. I hear about wings from people who like to read about this a lot. So what is the difference between the triad and wings?
That's a good question.
So wings, there's a lot of value in studying your wing as well. And you, if you know what your wing is, you'll look for it and you'll see it exhibited in your life. I focus this talk on the triads because I think the triads offer the most possibility for transformation in your life. And really, when you think about that diagram, that circle diagram, our goal is for all of us to be at the center. So if we're at the center, we are reflecting the best of each and every number. So certainly we will exhibit traits of every number, especially when we're living the way God created us to, when we're living in his image. Is that helpful?
Yeah, well, like, I took a test and it spit three numbers out. You know, you might be a 1, 6, or a 9. And when I read about it more, I thought, oh, I'm definitely a 1. But what's interesting is to say I might be a 1, 6, or 9, the 6 or 9 are not in my triad.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was
I would explain that by saying the 1 and the 6 are very similar. They have very similar characteristics, and it's really hard sometimes to tell the difference. Even as I was just talking to you right now, I was starting to think, wait a minute, am I a 1?
Yeah.
It just comes up a lot. So because you're a 1, the 1 and the 6 really have a lot in common.
Okay.
Keep reading.
Okay. I have a question.
We've got another question.
I mean, it's kind of similar, I guess, to her, so.
She's a 6.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I took the test and I came out a 1. And everybody was like, eh, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so either, and I don't really want to be that. No. Just kidding.
Hey, now.
But so then I didn't take it again. I just was the six from what we were talking about. But then when you read that, like the eight sounds a lot like me, but it doesn't say, you read the eight and it says protector on your screen, but it doesn't say that on here. Like, I don't want to be a leader.
Okay, you're not an eight.
You're not an eight.
No.
She's not an eight. But all the protector stuff, all of that, like, protection and, like, all, everything else that you read sounded like me. But, so, this is kind of the same thing. It's like, the eight's not in that triad. So, are you really, I mean, so you really should be a little bit of all of the things in your triad, and that's kind of how you can, like, confirm that maybe I'm a six, because maybe I have nine and three, and if I look at eight, I would look, because I would say the five also has a lot of my things that I thought are true of me.
So let me introduce. Let me introduce the concept of the core motivation. So each number has a core motivation, and everyone who's in the GQ, the gut 8, 9, and 1, their core motivation is power and control. I don't have a diagram of this, but 8, 9, and 1, you can write power and control is their core motivation. For the heart people, the 2s, 3s, and 4s, their core motivation is approval and affection. Approval and affection. And then the head people, the 5s, 6s, and 7s, our core motivation is security and survival. So
you want to be at my house?
Security and survival.
Okay.
So Marianne asked me a question last night about, I don't know, the three and the six, and she doesn't really feel like a six. I don't remember what the question was. But when I read her these core motivations, it made sense. So if you are doing an action, ask yourself, what's my core motivation in this action?
Right.
For example, as a six, why am I, trying to give a good example that relates to your eight. Why am I wanting to get a group of trusted friends around me? If my goal is, you know, deep down, if one of my primary goals is I need to feel secure, those people will bring me security. That's more the 5, 6, and 7, the head center, the motivation of security and survival. If my goal in surrounding myself with trusted individuals is to take over, lead them, exhibit my control over them, then you're more likely to be an 8, 9, or 1.
See, I guess I think of protector more as the, like, that behind the scenes.
Mommy,
like, so I guess it maybe, I don't know. Anyways, what you were reading, I have to go. I just confused because of the way, you know, like Angela said, like, it, you know, I came out one thing that didn't really fit, but then something I thought and something you read, they didn't really sit in the same triad. So it's kind of like, how do you determine between them, because the test obviously didn't really do justice for how I answered it, or, you know.
I would take you back to the quote, all Enneagram models are incomplete. Some are useful. So you will find words that don't resonate according to certain Enneagram writers. It just won't resonate. Other ones you will resonate with, because there's good and bad in all the Enneagram stuff you're going to read.
Can you talk about the wing? Because a lot of the tests give you a wing.
Yeah, I don't know a ton about the wing, except that you're more likely to be similar to one of the two numbers next to you on the circle. Mm-hmm. And so the more you learn about each number, the easier it will be for you to figure out which number you tend towards. I could either tend towards the 7 or the 5, but I know myself enough to know, and the test also said I move towards the 5. I have a lot in common with 5s. There are also, and this gets even more complicated, so there are subtypes of each type, and there are some people, even on my staff, who didn't think they were the number that they kept testing as, but when they read about the subtypes, It all made sense to them. So this gets really complex, and you can go deep and deep and deeper. So some of your questions I won't be able to answer because there's so much nuance to the Enneagram.
Do you have a good resource for the subtypes?
Subtypes. My friend, I haven't delved a ton into subtypes, but my friend loves Beatrice Chestnut.
What?
She.
Is that just a person? A podcast.
Beatrice Chestnut. So Google her and see what she's put out there. My friend who, the subtypes saved her life, she felt like. And Beatrice is her go-to person.
So I have a question. Then how can you tell the difference between, like, who you are and who
you want
your environment has shaped you to be? Like, for example, I cannot tell you how many times, especially in college, people said to me, you're too busy, you're overextended, all of the negatives of seven, but I typed as a two. So, like, how much is it, like, me and how much is it
environment?
Because she's the one who said her mom is a two.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm going to be a wimp as I answer that question because it's different for everybody. And that's why the Harmony Triads are so important to me, because the Harmony Triads allow you to put your story into your type and see how one affects the other. Our Enneagram number is made up of nature, nurture, and free will. And who we are created in the image of God.
Really,
there's no percentage that I can give to each one. And in different times of your life, you'll be more influenced by how you were raised or by the free will that you've chosen correctly, or by living as a woman of God. So I hate to sound wimpy and not be able to answer your question, but there's really no straight answer. And if you get a straight answer from a book or something, that's their theory of it. From what I've read, you can't always tell what played the most role. And it changes from season to season.
Can you, because we've got to wrap up, can you give us your best resources? And then I know you do coaching if people want to look into it more. Like, how does
yes.
that work?
So, did I bring the book? I did. So my training on Harmony Triads was done by Claire Lowridge, L-O-U-G-H-R-I-G-E. And she just came out with a book on the Harmony Triads, which she wrote with her husband, and Adele Calhoun, which you may have heard of. She's a great spiritual director, and her husband. So a lot of what I've taught you today can be found in this book. I would highly recommend anything by Claire, even her training. She lives in Wisconsin, and her training was phenomenal. Just a godly woman who really wants to let the Holy Spirit affect how she sees herself through the Enneagram. If you are a working mom and you want to see how the Enneagram is related to business, you can look up Ginger Bogda, B-O-G-D-A. She does all Enneagram and business things. If you want to see the Enneagram from a more psychological bent, you can look up Jerry Wagner, W-A-G-N-E-R. He's here in Chicago. He was on the staff at Loyola University for a long time, and he does a great mix of spiritual and psychological. Miriam mentioned Sacred Enneagram. I've never read that book or been trained by him, but he's coming to our church next weekend to give a training. His name is Christopher Hewer.
And I've been doing a podcast with him.
There's a podcast really that...
Good. Yeah, a lot. I think all these people, maybe not Jerry, but the rest of them have podcasts.
Yeah.
So the Sacred Enneagram would be another good one you could look at. And a group. There's a group called Sleeping at Last.
Oh, yeah. That's the one. Yes.
Yay.
Love that one.
She just said that one.
And you can look them up on Spotify or YouTube, and they have a song to reflect each number.
It sounds super cheesy, but it's actually awesome. And it's a podcast, too.
Yeah. So they rolled them out one at a time on their podcast, but you can actually go on Spotify and just get all of them together.
Wow. Well, that's a lot of information, Jennifer. Any parting words of wisdom before we say goodbye?
Can you pull up the triad again with the Trinity? The thing that has the Trinity for each one? Sorry, just one more.
Just a moment, please. No?
I have it. I took a picture of it when it was on there. I'll give it to her.
We got it.
It was the first one name that you scroll
it
up.
Was one
no, not
you
that
have
one.
The Holy Spirit and the Jesus.
I know which one I'm looking for. I just can't remember. I think I know where it was. But anyway, you're. Sorry.
No worries. She took a picture of it.
My parting words for you would be. Here it is.
Oh, there.
Would be a quote by some guy whose name I cannot pronounce, but I believe he's a monk.
Hang on, some of the sevens are talking. No.
What?
Okay, go ahead. Party words. No, finish up. What do we got?
Oh, sorry. Be patient with the slow work of God. My counselor just shared that with me. I mean, just reminded me of it yesterday in my session. Be patient with the slow work of God. When you're examining yourself and learning more about who you are and who God intended you to be through the Enneagram, be patient, because God's transforming work can be slow often. And when you're looking at your spouse or your sister or your mother and you watch their transforming work and you see what they should be if they're on the inner edge, be patient with the slow work of God within them as well. That's my last words. If any of you want more information or want to do some coaching, you can talk to Marianne and she'll give you my information. It's just a wonderful tool. And thanks for letting me come and talk to you guys today.
Yay. Thank you.